Coming up, we answer your questions all about Universal Orlando, live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is episode 105 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And Toll Time today is brought to you by Binford Tolls. Experts at helping you find the perfect tools. Not us. Visit them on the web at binford.com, maybe? I don't know.
Does everyone know what time it is?
Tool time!
I said, does everyone know what time it is?
Tool time!
Oh, Binford Tools is proud to present Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Hey! Hi, folks. Hey, today we are doing our salute to Universal Orlando. I, of course, am your host, Tim the Tollman Taylor. And today I am joined by my good friend, Al, I'm not afraid of no flannel, Borland.
Thanks, Tim.
Fantastic. And, of course, helping us out today, back on the controls, our lovely assistant, Heidi.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
And also here with us today, another special guest, my neighbor, Wilson.
Howdy ho, neighbor.
What's wrong with us?
Today, we are going to celebrate the great holiday of Halloween.
Sorry, my bad.
She's new.
she's new. Yeah, she's new to all this. Okay, so first off, I'm going to say for everyone, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're wondering why there's giggling, laughing, why our theme was different. Well, as we said, I believe on the show last week, we're going to dress up like characters from Home Improvement, a long-running ABC sitcom, to talk about an NBC Universal owned Universal Orlando park. I know it makes absolutely no sense, but so yes, if you are watching this, obviously you can see the visual difference, as well as if you're listening, well, you can't see any difference. So yes, we are going to do our best to stay in our characters for today's show, since we are dressed up like them. You know, it would not be our brilliance of breaking character at any point in time. So today I will be Tim the Toolman Taylor.
I don't think so, Tim.
Well, you're right. It is Halloween, so I will be Tim the Ghoulman Taylor. Yes. So we're gonna screw this up many times throughout the show, I'm sure. But what are we doing on today's show? Well, of course, we are going to be answering your questions on Universal Orlando.
That did not sound good. That didn't sound good at all.
We've started with the lady in the back. Heidi?
Hello.
Or Lisa?
Heidi, I think.
Heidi.
You're Heidi.
Yes, so... Oh, so this is fantastic. So are we ready to get to our questions on Universal Orlando?
Yes.
I think so, Tim.
Fantastic.
Rhino's really committing.
Yes, well, he only has two lines to commit to.
Only has two catchphrases. Yeah, that one catchphrase.
Okay, so we are going to start off with one that I don't believe we are in any way, shape, or form really able to answer, but I want to see what our answers are anyways. So this one comes from Carrie Ann on Facebook. How many rides are suitable for the entire family? Is there a list somewhere of the rides and their height requirements to understand exactly which rides we could all go on together? Would be with a small child aged 3. Heidi, do you want to field this one?
Yes, why not?
You have small children, don't you?
I do.
Oh, just kidding. She's not allowed near schools. Your mom's wondering where her lipstick went. Look. She now knows.
Can you repeat the question?
If anyone let a 3-year-old near you, where would you go on a ride with them at Universal Studios Orlando?
Somewhere quiet.
What was the question? Sorry, Craig.
Good.
This is
gracious.
Actually Johnny Depp's new look in the newest Pirates of the Caribbean movie, I think.
How many rides are suitable for the entire family? Is there a list somewhere of the rides and their height requirements to understand exactly which rides we could go on altogether would be with a small child aged 3?
Yeah, there is. You can find the height requirements on, I believe they're on our website. Are they not, Craig?
They are.
They are on our website, as well as the official Universal website. Saying that, the height requirement doesn't determine whether or not the... I feel like I'm speaking in a too deep a voice. The height requirement doesn't determine whether or not the attraction would be, appropriate for a young child, someone that's, 3 years old, for example. So Terminator, for example, mm-hmm. will allow anyone in, even though it is technically rated a PG-13 attraction. It's not going to be suitable necessarily for a 3-year-old. So yeah. What I would recommend doing is doing a little bit of research first. I would go on YouTube. That's actually one of your most powerful tools. And the YouTube is one of your most powerful tools. And I would just, I would look through there, to be honest, because you as a parent are going to get the your children the best, like there's so many children out there that can handle quite a lot. Like, I was at Halloween Horror Nights not that long ago at Universal, and even though they recommend it's for adults, there's a lot of young children there and they do absolutely fine. So you've got to make that judgment yourself. So I wouldn't use height requirements alone to make that judgment. But to answer your question, yes, you can find the specific height requirements on our website, wdwinfo.com, and then click on Universal banner at the top. And it'll be somewhere in there or on the Universal website itself.
That was a great answer.
It was.
I'm going to then come in and kind of crush that a little bit.
Okay.
Unfortunately, with a small child, like 3 years old, unless they are meeting some of the height requirements, unfortunately, there is not that much to actually do at Universal.
Yeah.
Kids play.
There are some great play areas, like the American Tail, Five Will Goes West play area. There's a day in the park with Barney, and there's a lot back there that I think could entertain a child for a good amount of time, as well as over in Toon Lagoon. There's a little bit of a play area over there as well. And then, of course, Seuss Landing. There's the If I Ran the Zoo play area, I believe. So there's more stuff focused on that and not so much actually attractions, definitely not as family friendly in that terms as Disney is. But I wouldn't be detracted by going because plenty of people do and they end up finding ways. And I know someone suggested on Facebook, make sure that you take them through the queues too. I could only imagine how like enthralled a 3-year-old might be seeing a queue like Hogwarts for the very first time and just believing you're actually in a castle. So there could be plenty of moments like that. Wish there was happier news on that, but there just isn't.
Mm.
So our next question is going to come from Armando, and I'm going to throw this one over to Al. Armando says... My partner and I will be there for 2 days.
Oh.
First time visiting you. Well, that was a poorly timed grunt. Is it worth staying at any of the Universal resorts just for one night? We're staying at a Disney property for our entire trip. Al?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, Tim. No. Can you repeat the part about how long he's going to be at Universal for? I know you said 2 days at Universal. Is it worth going to stay at a Universal hotel? I would say absolutely. It's a different type of atmosphere than it is at Disney. But you cannot beat the convenience of being able to walk from the entrance of a theme park into your hotel and just kind of enjoying yourself. And they're not that expensive right now to stay in at all either. So I would check out some of the deals that are being thrown around. Right now, I don't know if you're an annual pass holder or not, but there were some deals for them staying on site. That looks pretty good. Florida residents, deals there too. I'd say give it a shot. 2 days, why not?
Completely agree.
What are some of the benefits you can get at staying at some of the certain criteria on-site hotels? Well, that could be a...
I'm glad you asked, Heidi, because there's actually, you can get, depending on what hotel you're in, you could end up with some express passes.
Yes, you could.
You know, and that's that you could price it out and see how much it is to stay in the hotel a night versus how much it is to add it on to your ticket. And it could be pretty comparable to staying in that hotel room.
I would also throw on another aspect of staying the night at a Universal hotel, staying at Lowe's hotels, they're with Universal doing the theming.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It could actually, you know, people who come to Disney quite often, they get an idea of how a themed hotel should be based on the ones that Disney runs. I think it's eye-opening to see how Universal would, you know, add in their theming, but then balance it off with the Lowe's Hotels run management style. So I think it shows what else is out there. Because believe it or not, I know people who have stayed solely at Universal because they love just how everything runs there, but then they'll travel over to Disney, especially if they have annual passes there and they're able to get the free parking and the other stuff that's perks for staying on site at Disney. But mm-hmm. So I think it's just to see how other things are done out there. It's good. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know, you can stay in a Lowe's hotel in many major cities, but not added in with the Universal theming to it. It's quite the experience. So I hope that helped a little bit, Armando. So this one, I'm going to actually jump in on our live chat on YouTube. One of the benefits of watching us live at youtube.com/disunplugged. As soon as I find it again, because I already lost it.
Scrolled way on up there, Tim.
Oh, this one was from Allie. So Allie asks, what are each of your favorite attractions and why? Ooh. We'll start off with this one. I want to start back off on Al.
Oh, thank you, Tim. I'd have to either say The Forbidden Journey, Islands of Adventure, or Spider-Man. Spider-Man is a ride unlike any I've been on before, or I should say now there have been several designed since then that are similar to it. However, I love Spider-Man. It's one of my favorite superheroes, and it is... I love a ride where you can be so thrown off that I don't know whether I'm moving up or the walls are moving down or what the deal is. You know? A lot of power on that ride.
More power. Yeah.
And then, obviously, Harry Potter. I mean, the Forbidden Journey. You can't beat that. That's a ride unlike any other with the arm that you move through. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's scary. It's everything.
Oh, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Heidi?
Hello, Heidi. Yes, I would say it's a hard question because there's so much that I enjoy. Possibly the Revenge of the Mummy attraction. I'm a huge fan of roller coasters, and then they just take it to the next level with the theming. You can't beat the thrill of a roller coaster, and then paired with that Universal theming, it's absolutely it's outstandingly good. That's Heidi's favorite pick at Universal, but there is a lot of good ones out there. Heidi feels like she needs to speak with an American accent. It doesn't feel right speaking like this.
Also a little bit higher pitch.
A little bit higher. She's making me nervous.
Heidi's favorite attraction is...
Sorry, we got a really good suggestion for costumes next year.
Oh, okay.
Ferris Bueller, Cameron, and Ed Rooney, the principal.
But what upsets me is that I just want to be like, oh, Rooney! I want it.
You just could be Rooney. He could be the secretary.
Yeah, I need to get some more wear out of this wig.
The red... She's got a bob.
She's blonde bob.
Yeah. Oh. No, the red hair, I mean, that just puts me in. So, this next question... Oh, I didn't answer my part of it. My favorite attraction... Ooh, what day of the week is it? Because it just consistently changes. Mm-hmm. But I think I have to answer with the one that I ultimately always say is my favorite attraction, and that, of course, is Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. As I always say, I am biased, since that was the very first attraction that I worked at Universal. My very first attraction I ever experienced at Universal, even. And, you know, it's just one of those things that it stuck with you. And it blends Harry Potter, the most innovative ride technology that was around, and it is absolutely perfect. So that is my favorite attraction and why. And our next question is going to come on from Facebook. Sorry. And this one's from Sabrina. Sabrina asks, if you don't drink, is there any reason to have a city pass for City Walk? Now, my first question to y'all is, do you even know what a city pass is?
That is a great question, because I honestly haven't got a clue.
Okay, so city pass is...
I didn't know they still had them, actually.
They do still have them. So, as you know, whenever City Walk was more club-oriented, not that it still isn't, that it is to an extent, but back in the day, whenever it was heavily club-influenced, all of the different clubs, and I believe this is still true to this day, can have a separate... can have a separate fee to get into them. So let's, for example, if you wanted to go to Rising Star, the karaoke bar, you would have to pay a certain amount to get in, not that much. But then if you wanted to go over to Pat O'Brien's for Dueling Pianos, you would also have to pay to get in there as well, too. So then there's two options around it. If you are a Universal employee, or I believe if you have the Premier Pass, the highest level tiered pass, I can't remember on the preferred. Let me look that up really quickly to find out on that, too. I should have.
I looked it up, or I was looking at this yesterday. You're talking about the one that comes with the annual pass?
Yeah.
It's only the Premier.
Only the Premier?
Only the one that we have, yeah.
Okay.
Because it was like I was looking at a list and I had check marks, and I noticed that ours was the only one that had the free entry.
Yeah, I can never truly remember with that, but. With the Premier Pass, if you're a Universal team member or if you have a City Pass, you do not have to pay to get into the clubs each time. You can, it's just for the City Pass, it's one time down and you get everything. So is it worth it if you're not a drinker? Well, in my opinion, I mentioned two of the venues, specifically Pat O'Brien's and Rising Star. If you're there on the weekends, especially during a busy time, abso-freaking-lutely is the City Pass worth getting to go in and try to do these stuff. You don't have to drink at City Walk to have a good time, especially if you balance it off with a meal and then maybe even try these two places. I mean, the City Pass would be a little bit more expensive than going into these two clubs by themselves. But if you want to check out everything, that's the affordable way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend to anyone who just likes to have a good time, Rising Star, it's great to watch people bomb on stage.
Rising Star is my favorite of them up there to go to.
Yeah,
for sure. It is fun if you got a talented friend and they have the live band playing. It can be fun. It can be fun to have some drinks. It can be fun.
Whenever you watch someone or when you watch someone bomb at Rising Star, it's just so entertaining. On the weekends, they have the backing band that does. Take over and do it, but and make them sound better. But that's fun. And then Pat O'Brien's with the Dueling Pianos. I love going in there because I know you hate pianos.
I just hate Dueling Pianos because a lot of times they'll get people that just slam the piano. And so it's just like slamming piano noise. I like to be in a place where I could potentially have a conversation.
I don't agree. Well, but that's.
It's okay that you like them. I'm not like against people that like them. It's just my
own. Well, that's the beauty with Pat O'Brien's. There's actually multiple different areas you can sit in. You can sit in the first bar area that is the most divided away from the pianos. You can sit right in the piano room, or you can sit in the outside section, which is still very close to the pianos, and you can hear them, but you are able to maintain a conversation.
I do like the outside section, too. That's nice. This time of year, too.
And I love it. I know a lot of people love Jelly Rolls over at the Boardwalk. I loved it, too, whenever I could get in for free with my cast member ID.
I will agree with you on this point here, yeah.
But Pat O'Brien's is so much better. They play a lot of songs that are just your mainstream piano songs, not... overtly songs that have cursing in them, but they're also not afraid to. If someone someone suggests it and then tips them enough to sing it, they will do anything, and they don't have to worry about that. That's one of the things I don't like about Jelly Rolls, is that if there's even like one curse word in, they won't touch it. It doesn't matter how much money you lay it out on the pianos. But point being said, I think the City Pass can be worth it if you just want to experience everything. Then maybe not every trip.
But there's an example why staying on site too would be really good for you as well. If you're going to do a night in out, you know, right there, you can just walk back to your hotel. You don't have to worry about anything. So,
yep.
You know, another reason why I think a stay is definitely something to be considered.
Yeah.
Can I take a question?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I just want to do it because Pete Weaver, because I want you to know that we read what you write, Pete. He said, how fast can you do UO if you push yourself? Would 2 days cut it to see everything an adult would want without getting in front of the line? And I would say that 2 days to cover Universal Orlando, I mean, if you dedicated one full day to the other park, one full day at the other park, what do you think? It's tough. I don't think that you necessarily would need front of the line, but I think it'd be tight.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
I personally think 2 days without front of the line at the right time of year with a good plan of attack.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. One time way back with my parents, I think the first time they came, we killed most of the park, most of both parks in one day. Granted, that was before Diagon Alley. But we were able to do the highlights of both parks in one day. So I think if you know the right method, I think, and if you have front of the line passes, if you have express passes, you can get both parks done in one day. But you have to push yourself hard. This isn't, you know, you're not taking long times to sit down in one of the restaurants at City Walk.
Yeah, it's got
to
be a quick service.
You know, that's part of it though. With Universal Orlando, if you said, well, can I do it in 2 days? But then you're going to have to sacrifice something like Tusum, which I think now is a must eat place. And that kind of goes into another question. Someone asked if we had one day to eat anywhere at Universal, I'd now make that Tusum just because of how unique it is.
I would agree with you. That is probably, I mean, not probably. I mean, without a question, I think it's the most unique. We said it was cowfish originally.
Yeah.
And then I think that this is like a turn into the, like when I go somewhere and stay somewhere, it's kind of the place like I look for, the place that has really unique stuff involved in it. And yeah, I would say it's a must do.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Not even going to talk about it anymore. I'm going to take another question coming in from the chat because we got a lot of good ones actually popping in up here. So
no, Oliver and I are not a couple.
Yes, you're not. You are not. But this one, this one comes from. I lost it. One's from Mitch. This one's from Mitch, and this I'm going to throw this one specifically out to Heidi back there. Do you guys think Universal is going overboard on the virtual reality type rides?
Give it to
and of side. Course, I don't think he meant virtual reality. He meant
3D motion
simulators, that kind of thing.
That is actually a really good question. It's a lot of people have the opinion that whenever they're using screens in attractions, it's almost like a cheap way of doing it. It's a get out. But honestly, Universal Orlando does such a great job with that. When I think about the attractions that they've got there, a good majority of them actually use some sort of video screen projection in them. And if it's done well, it's completely fine. It's when it's used as some sort of like... it's when it's used in a cheap way, like, you know, this is a half... I'll say that word. Yeah. Attraction. Like, I'm very worried right now to see which direction they're taking the Jimmy Fallon attraction, because I've got a feeling that this is going to be one of those, like, oh, it's a theater.
I was going to ask you to piggyback on that question, because I was going to ask you, what do you think is the worst of the simulators? What, is there one that you think didn't do it well? Bang, bang.
Yes. And this comes from kind of how it's executed now and also what it replaced. So I'm really not a huge fan of The Simpsons. I remember it when it was Back to the Future. As a huge Back to the Future fan, I loved that attraction. It was something I'd look forward to every time I came on vacation out here. And it's just, yeah, it's just not what it was now. When I go in there, even though they've got, you know, a few nods at the original Back to the Future, and even though, you know, it's they did an okay job with it, and I am a fan of The Simpsons, it's just not...
I don't know if our studio audience is agreeing with you very well.
It's it's just not what it used to be, so I'm sorry, but...
replace you.
The Simpsons is a not... is The Simpsons, I'd say, is the attraction that doesn't do it for me. So, yeah. How about you? Do you, any of you guys feel that there's attractions that use screens that aren't executed as well as they could be?
I'm going to agree with you. Simpsons.
Thank you.
And it's because I think that was a remodel of an older original version. Like, in the, yeah, obviously. And it has come so far between them. Like, Simpsons is the, since it basically just went from Back to the Future to Simpsons without, and I don't mean this in a bad way, without any sort of like innovation to it whatsoever. It's just an example of like, it's kind of like the original type of that. And then we have things like Harry Potter, like, you know, Forbidden Journey that are that on the level they're at now. So it's just because I think that's an older building, older model of that. But I'll agree with you, because I like to see animatronic work mixed in with actual props surrounding, you know, sets and stuff.
Just going to come on to that. The other one that popped to mind is the Transformers attraction. I love the idea that they're mixing the screens, like the screen 3D effects in with the actors on stage. But it's an old attraction. It's starting to show its age.
Did you mean Terminator? The 3D,
yeah, what did I say?
Transformers.
Oh, I meant, sorry. World of my own. I'm just a dumb blonde. I dye it. it's what was I saying? Yeah.
She's a natural blonde.
Terminator.
That's right.
It's just showing its age now. It's just showing its age, the 3D especially. I love the idea. It was executed well at the time, but you can get better 3D at home. If you've got a 3D TV, the 3D that you can see on Terminator isn't the same. And if you're paying such a high ticket price to go into a theme park, you expect to see something that you can't see anywhere else. So Terminator, I would say, is also on par with The Simpsons. So...
Well, that also leads into one more question. This one from Alejandro. Fast and Furious, the ride. Are we excited? What else would we like to see in its place?
Alejandro.
Ooh.
I'm not excited.
Well, I don't like the fact that it got rid of Beetlejuice, because I loved Beetlejuice. It was one of my favorite. Yeah.
You have terrible taste.
Well, I've been told before.
I don't think you were. You didn't work with us yet, right? When Craig and I went and recorded that? I don't think
No,
you did.
I didn't. No.
Yeah. Oh, no, you definitely didn't. Ah. I remember getting very upset that day. just at the show. Like, it was just so frustrating. But what do you want to see? What do you... You're upset because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be similar to what we're seeing over at Universal Hollywood, in California. And that, again, it's great when Universal can execute attractions with screens well, but let's not go overboard too much. Like, I can see what the original person was asking now when they asked the question about the screens. Like, maybe we are getting into a territory where there is too many screens there, you know?
But the screens help accomplish something that cannot physically be done, and that's just it.
But when you think about what it's replaced as well with
Disaster and Beetlejuice.
Sorry, yeah, Disaster. Like, there was a level of excitement involved in Disaster when you were inside the underground. Yes. It was like, the water's coming down, the explosions, that it just doesn't always...
Yes, no, I do agree with that, but... Fast and Furious is a billion-dollar franchise for Universal Orlando, and because of that, for Universal, period. They have to take advantage of it in some way, besides doing a stunt show, which I feel pretty much at this point all stunt shows are completely irrelevant because of how theme parks have shifted and changed so much. How else do you make a Fast and the Furious ride whenever you're not using screens? You can't.
I mean,
you can't.
No, I agree.
No,
I mean, unless it was like a test track scenario where you built this thing and you launch them around, but then you're like, well, you can't You can't dip, you know, you can't have a, I don't know, the animatronic of, like, The Rock talking to you, I guess. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, well, what about if they did it this way? So, like, I'm assuming, like, that Az is going to be almost identical to the one in Hollywood. It's just screens on both sides. Very similar to the way Kong is right now.
Yeah, but Kong, they did expand on it. Not too much, but they did expand on it.
They did. What about if they used the same kind of ride experience and vehicle that we see in Spider-Man and Transformers? Because that you can mix in, yeah, me too. Because you can mix screens in where they're needed, in with like the actual physical props. Because it just sells it a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, they could, and I think it. I think you are going to be moving through somehow. I don't know enough about this. I haven't been digging for dirt and information on it, but I think it is going to be somewhat of a blend of that style slash adding in tram style for capacity too, and then you're going to have to go through those scenes like you do in Hollywood. So they're going to have to change it up. They're going to have to add a little bit more than just screens to it. But you have to remember, in Hollywood, they can get away with it being just screens because it is just one small portion on the tram tour, whereas here it's not. It's going to be a standalone attraction. So for that reason, it's got to be different to begin with. I just don't like it because although I did enjoy the campiness of Furious 7, which I now anytime I see it pop up on HBO, I still stop and watch it. It is just so campy, hilarious, over the top. It's very funny, but I don't necessarily need to do an attraction on it. That wouldn't pull me in. More Potter would pull me in, but I think a lot of people would agree with that.
That's true, but I also don't only want – I don't want Universal Studios to be only Harry Potter.
No.
I love Harry Potter. I love you, Harry Potter. We good.
I am good with them whenever I feel they have exhausted all of the resources that they can to really make – Harry Potter what it needs to be, because honestly that's San Francisco is right beside New York in terms of Universal Studios Florida. We're about to have the newest installment in the world of Harry Potter with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. They could have balanced in that architecture, got rid of, they would have had to destroy San Francisco, buy Lombards, buy Bruce the Shark, all of that, but then you could have slowly transformed it before going into London and had this massive wizarding area in general. Lost train of thought with there, but I like my idea.
I like your idea,
too. I like it, too.
I don't think so, Tim.
Well, I mean, it's times like this I wish I could have the advice of my trusty next-door neighbor, Wilson.
It's like Confucius once said, I wish I knew something that Confucius had said. That would apply to this situation.
It does. So just, you know, in this situation, I'm confounded by everything that's happening. So we should probably move on to our next question. This one comes from Maria on Facebook. How are Christmas crowds? Do the parks ever close for capacity?
I don't know that. I know that Disney has come close, and some have like gone to phase closes, as they call them. So it'll be, they no longer sell tickets for people that day. So you already have to have had a ticket. There's the annual pass holders are still allowed to come in, and then it's like resort guests only. And then, you know, I don't know how Universal does it. You know that though.
I may have seen Islands of Adventure close once for capacity in the time that I worked there. Just like once. Other than that, I've never seen either park close for capacity. It's definitely not on that. It's not on that Disney realm of New Year's Eve trying to watch the fireworks in Magic Kingdom. It's just not that. So don't be concerned in that regards. Christmas crowds. It's going to be on the busier side, but if you time it right, you might come during one of the great weekends where you also get to experience Mannheim Steamroller doing their concerts at the Universal Plaza stage, and throw that in with the Macy's Holiday Parade and a little Grinchmas over at Islands, and I think you're in for a nice holiday treat. Mm. Wilson?
Well, Tim, I'm reminded of what the Chinese philosopher Chuang Tse said, you cannot speak to the ocean of the ocean to a whale frog. You cannot speak of ice to a summer insect.
Wonderful.
So wise of Wilson to say that.
That was very wise of you.
I have a question. How can we never see Alan Wilson in the same shot? What's that about?
I don't know.
Studio magic.
Good question. So I'm going to throw one more in from Allie because it just popped on too. Actually, no, I'm going to wait for you. Allie, your question about Jimmy Fallon and the new artwork they released for the ride. At the end of this episode, we'll kind of throw into the housekeeping section a couple of the little other things that did pop up this week in terms of Universal that I wanted to say before we get going. So I will get to that one in just a little bit. We're going to head back over to Facebook because I really like this one from Craig. Not myself, Craig. Other Craig. Not going to read his last name.
He's got seven Craigs he goes.
You can see that later. But Craig asks, which area/land would you close and what would you like to see it replaced with?
Ooh.
This is one we're all going to answer.
Yeah, the children's area.
Ooh. What's be more specific? What
the, in Universal Studios... I would like to see the children's area turned into something else. I think it's a big piece of land.
Can you tell me what the name of that kids area is?
I sure wish I could.
Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone.
Woody Woodpecker. You just wanted me to say Woody Woodpecker. Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. And I think it's a little outdated at this point, even for kids. I mean, the Fievel side is cool, but it's kind of like... my kids would be watching American Tail and Fievel Goes West, but I don't know that it's, you know, still like a popular thing. You've got Barney back there. What, you know, it's a couple things back there. Yeah, I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to disagree immediately because if you take the kids' zone away, E.T. goes and we're going to have problems.
No. I don't swoop that in there. I should have prefaced that. Mm. I'm saying you move around it.
And we've talked about this before, and I still firmly believe this. If Kid Zone was to close, E.T. would be absolved into Hollywood.
Okay. Like, get rid of the stadium for the pet show because that thing's garbage and just all that stuff. Mm. Like, but keep E.T. swooped in with the on the side over there.
Yeah.
In fact, make where E.T. is, and then there's like that SpongeBob area, a little tiny area. Turn that into like classic Universal, like dedicated store, museum, whatever. And then you've got your own little area there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. That would be a good place. But where else I think would be a good place? The whole Men in Black area. Because it's a big attraction. It takes up a lot of room. It's an attraction I don't enjoy as much as I used to. So I'm not too sure yet what I'd have them replace it with. But I know that's where I'd be happy with it going. So it's a nice big space to work with. If you want to take the Fear Factor... area in there as well to expand it even more. You know, Fear Factor's not even on TV anymore. The only time that I ever go into that theater now is for Bill and Ted at Halloween Horror Nights. You know, it's a big space that could be used for something else. So I wouldn't be sad to see. I need to put my hand down. I'm getting into character here. I'm just like holding myself like a lady. Thank you, Rhino. I wouldn't be sad if I seen that guy. You could get. Yeah, you could get so much more in that area.
Well, I think that I agree with you as well because you're right. I don't want to I don't want kids not to have anywhere to go. I'm just suggesting they could make that kids area a new kids area, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a better sizable plot of land that doesn't really have.
Well, I think you guys are both ignoring the elephant in the park. And that is over at Islands of Adventure with the Lost Continent.
Oh, no. I'm going to talk about this for a real quick second, if you don't mind. I am worried that has now become relevant again because Universal has just put into works a Sinbad movie.
It's no, Sinbad the show is still terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's a garbage show. It needs to go. The Lost Continent, the Poseidon, while that is... kind of cool in certain aspects, like the water tunnel. It is a so bad it's good kind of attraction, but it still is wasting a ton of space. Mythos is meh. It's just all a waste of space. There is the only thing that could make it relevant is if they keep the theme in an architecture and replace everything that's in it. And that is not going to happen.
That's what I was just going to say, though, because I actually love the theming of the Lost Continent. I like that, you know, it's got a Middle Eastern feel almost to it. It's very nice. They could do so much more with it. What lets it down is what you can do in there, you know. Sinbad, which
I secretly don't hate that much. I know these two can't stand it, but...
Why did I get rid of the boo?
It's it's just, I don't know, it's not great, but the theming itself is fine. See, Men in Black doesn't really have that much theming. That area is just a letdown.
I have...
That sounded more like a cheer.
Yeah. I'm gonna pose a question on this real quick, too, because I don't know if that was the second half of your question and I don't remember anymore, but... What would you like to see go into these places? Now, I'm gonna answer real quick because Universal is now pushing really hard to create that monsters shared universe.
Yeah.
Because you've got The Mummy, you've got Van Helsing, Dracula, The Invisible Man, all that stuff is coming out.
We'll have to see how The Mummy does.
Well, all those are in production, but The Mummy's the first real one out of the line in the spring.
With Tom Cruise.
Yes.
So.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, I think okay. that gives its legs because Wolfman was a glorious failure. The Benicio del Toro Wolfman.
But that I don't think was supposed to be part of the shared universe.
That is part of it. That was the start of the universe from what I understand.
No, Dracula was the first one.
No, Wolfman, then Dracula. Because
there is another Wolfman in production too now.
Dracula definitely is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Wolfman is slightly in it too.
Well, either way, I'd be interested in seeing a classic monster area, maybe like a shared universe area like that. And I think that you could maybe do that in that area you just spoke about relatively easy. Maybe, you know, maybe looking at like The Mummy stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if Universal could truly do Universal Monsters justice with the whole land. So I would probably stay away from that. You know, part of me would want to see. I don't know. I really don't know.
You know that what's his name? George Martin proposed a was it a Game of Thrones area or it was a different? It wasn't his property, but he proposed a theme park oriented. I just read about this the other day, and I can't remember, so I'm regretting bringing it up at all.
Yeah, probably shouldn't.
Sorry.
I've just thought what I'd like to replace the area I said because that was the back end of the question.
What?
You could take that nice big building and make it into some sort of all year round house that you could walk through, like we keep wanting to see from Halloween Horror Nights. That'd be a nice area for that, I think.
Yeah, Men in Black's a little bit too big for that.
It is.
Yeah. You would be able to put two or three houses in there,
especially if it did absorb the Fear Factor as well. You could do something there as well.
Yeah. I'm not going to answer that question because I don't have a good excuse. But maybe towards the end of the year, we'll do one of our fun "What If" episodes. What would we like to see happen at Universal, and what do we think could happen? We've done it before. We might do it again. This one comes from Julie. Sent us an email. This has actually taken us over to the West Coast.
Whoa.
So, Julie says, we visited UO for the first time this summer and the kids loved it. We are also DVC with most of our points in California. Would it be worth it next time we travel to Disneyland to add a day at Universal Hollywood? Or is it relatively the same ride experience? Is one day enough? Thanks. I'm gonna just take that one. Absolutely.
One day is enough?
One day is enough, and you have to see Universal Studios Hollywood. If... It doesn't matter that the ride experiences are similar in stuff like Despicable Me, Transformers. Yeah, those are the same exact ride experience. As we've talked about on the show before, Jurassic Park, slightly different. Mummy is slightly different. And then the tram tour, while it incorporates elements from other Universal rides, like the upcoming Fast and Furious and Kong, as we mentioned, it's the freaking tram tour.
Yeah, you got to do it.
And you guys, he's... Still, after probably next week's show, I think I'm going to put you on the spot about the VIP tour, talking a little bit more on that. But
I'd love to. I've done a Disneyland show about it.
Yes.
Now
we'll do one with visuals.
Yes, yes, yes. I think it's a must-do. So if you only have a day, go. Do it. I don't know that you necessarily will be leaving at the end of that one day and feel like, I didn't experience enough. I don't think you'll be able to do like the park and city walk significantly. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it depends on what time of year you go. But what do you think, Oliver? Do you feel like you...
I feel like I've not been to that park enough to answer the question because I only go in the once to answer the question.
That was only my second time.
So you've been more than once?
No. Well, yeah, but
also
when
don't
Craig and I
the...
went, we only went for... I literally was sundown.
Also, yeah, don't forget the circumstances I went under. I didn't go as a regular visitor. You know, we were on the VIP tour.
So well, that's what I'm suggesting, that the VIP tour can actually...
be the way to
increase
go.
Your one day experience.
Oh, if that's
if
the
you're
case.
Really concerned about it.
Oh yeah, if you yeah. really are going to do VIP, that's 100. Yeah, you'd be able to 110% do it in one day.
And I think it would also give you time to go to their city walk like ours to get something. Yeah. You know, Pink's hot dog is there. I love me some Pink's hot dog.
I like the Carl Strauss
Hollywood staple. Yes, Carl Strauss, yeah. Great brewery, great food there too. I think they just added another. They took out one famous LA burger place, and I think they added a new one in.
Yeah, there's something else going to open as well, too. I feel like they had a construction something up for... They're either remodeling something or...
Well, City Walk in general, their City Walk's about to go through a big renovation, too.
Well, theirs is beautiful.
So, and yeah, no, I think, really, if you want to get the most out of it, and you don't have to do a VIP tour, but if you do the VIP tour, you get to see more of the back lot, which is like the absolute selling point of it. Especially if you really want to understand that park, you can't think of it as a theme park. That one truly is a working studio that also has theme park attractions on it. So if you don't, you get a good sense from the studio tram tour. But you just get that much more depth in if you do the VIP version of it. And the VIP tour, if you do it in a group with other people, it's not outrageously expensive. It is more expensive, but it's
somebody
still...
just said what the store was too. Did you see it? Because now I
that's it.
Make
Voodoo
the,
Donuts.
I want to make the trip just for that now again.
yep. Actually, completely. I saw.
I thought it was. I was going to say it was a cupcake place, but it was the Voodoo Donuts. Yeah.
But yeah. So Universal Hollywood, absolutely, you got to check that out. I feel like I want to add in one more.
Get us a good one.
I'm going to give you a couple quick ones here. We're gonna rush this one out now. We're gonna get a couple good ones. We're gonna end with the one really good one that I wanted to throw in. But first off, Craig Lucas. Soup, used your last name. It's Facebook. Anyone could have seen it. Is Cabana Rental at Hard Rock Hotel worth the cost? It depends. Do you like cabanas? If you do, why the heck not? Personally, I hate sitting around pools. I like sitting around pool bars, but not pools. So a cabana would never be worth it for me.
Will they deliver you the drinks?
I don't care. I can sit at a bar and I can have them right from a bartender faster.
They'll deliver you the drinks whether you've got a cabana or not. They do have servers there, so it doesn't matter. To me, cabanas are always extortionate for what they are. You're paying for shade. It's so stupid.
I don't see a need for it.
Yeah,
I would rather sit inside.
Especially if you're staying at the hotel. Just go inside when you get hot.
Sabrina says the new photos pass thingy, yay or nay? Nay.
What
new photo? Their photo experience that's similar to Photo Pass at Disney. They've always had photo. Before it was the Photo Connect, and then they rebranded it.
It seems the same to me.
It's the same.
That's what I'm saying. There's no noticeable difference to me.
There's no point. I don't think their photographers are good at Universal. That is a big concern of mine. I don't think it's worth it. Susie asks, what's the break even on annual pass?
Two visits? Is that what you mean?
Well, you break it down. So you have to really look at it in terms. So are you getting, if you're coming, are you only coming for one day? Then you might come in 2 more months, come for another single day. And then, you know, at that point, 2 months later, come for another single day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's expensive. Just get the annual pass. Once you start adding like, well, no, I was going to get a 5-day ticket with park to park access, but it's still cheaper to do that. I mean, there's lots of variables to it. Honestly, I feel like look at your ticket price. Think about how many more times you might come for the rest of the year.
Calendar year.
If you don't feel like you can reasonably justify it, then don't do it. It's also what you feel you're getting value out of, because you have to throw in the little bit of discounts you get at places, at some of the restaurants, and the free parking, stuff like that. So it can add up. You know, I'd say if you visit twice in 1 year and you're planning on going 3 or 4 days each time, you can probably get break even from that point, especially if you stay on site, use your annual pass to get a discount on the hotel too. That's my
point.
That's my opinion on that.
That's all I got to say about
Sabrina
that.
Also asked on there. She asked a lot of stuff. She asked, do you need an express pass in November? Depends if it's busy.
Yeah.
It could be dead in November on one weekend, and the next weekend it could be packed.
It's one of those weird months where, like, the week right before Thanksgiving historically has been dead, and then the next thing you know, it's park capacity.
Exactly. The final one I'm going to read from Facebook was from Mark. Why do you hate Bob Vila? Well, because he's terrible. He's absolutely terrible. Toll Time is much better than Bob Vila's.
He's too restrained. I mean, Tim, we all know you love power. You love to see things up.
He's just getting angry now.
Bob Vila makes me angry. Okay, so with that, I'm going to come to our final question, and this one is coming via email. It comes from Patrick. This is a big one.
Patrick.
And I think we already know a lot. I don't think so, Tim.
I don't think so.
Wait, can you do it? Can you do yours again, Reuter?
I don't think so, Heidi.
Hello.
So Patrick says, what IP would you like to see added, return, slash, or more of in the Universal Parks? How do you think they should be realized? Background, with creative always dreaming up changes to the existing parks and the potential of a new park, Universal Studios Florida opened relying on the strength of its IPs. With the opening of IOA, Universal attempted to branch into original concepts, but it seems that those were mostly unsuccessful. The fact that Harry Potter was such an easy conversion for part of Lost Continent was such a boom to the park. So I would say it's safe to assume that most future projects are going to be based off an IP instead of an original concept. So which IP would you guys most like to see? IPs that have been taken out of the park include Jaws, Back to the Future, Earthquake, Beetlejuice, Ghostbusters, Twister, Alfred Hitchcock, Hanna-Barbera, Nickelodeon, Murder, She Wrote. And then a follow-up question. Looking at the list of past attractions, there definitely was an emphasis on making of movies that has mostly disappeared from the studios and completely different from Disney's Hollywood studios. Do you think such attractions don't belong in a park, or is it just hard to do right? I'm going to start by answering the last question. No, I've been talking a while. Then you guys are going to bounce in. But
you got
part of whenever we first started the show into whenever Rhino joined the show, we talked about how Universal had shifted from let's see how the movie is made to now let's put you into the movies. Obviously, at one point in time, Disney's Hollywood Studios was also heavy on how does a movie get made, and now they are stealing Universal's formula of let's put you into the movie. And I don't, I will argue anyone to death. Universal has created the ultimate immersion experience with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Disneyland tried to take a note out of its book with Cars Land, and while it's immersive, until we're all cars, it doesn't fully immerse you into the environment.
Mm, touché.
And we will see what happens whenever we have Star Wars, the Star Wars expansion, as well as Toy Story Land. But unless they fully get everyone working there to really take on a role in the environment, they are never going to achieve full immersion on there. So Hollywood Studios right now is trying to do what Universal is doing, and they're just not quite doing it as well. But that does make me sad that we're missing out on these how are movies made, but they have to go with what's profitable. People want to start being in these movies. They really latched onto that. It makes it their day for them, being into the movies. So ultimately, you have to go with what sells. Maybe eventually consumers will want how are movies made again. That's just not the case right now.
Like what you're saying right here about how movies are made and how you love that. I also love the authenticity of it. So like it works extremely well to keep that theming in California because you are there and you are literally on functioning sets that you'll drive by and you're like, I just watched this set from The Good Place, you know, last night. And it's happened since we've been. I've seen like five shows and I'm like, I know exactly where that is. And there's just an element of authenticity there when you have it. I don't like it here, the fake stuff. Like I never really liked this. I lurked at the Backlot Tour and I never really liked any part of it because it's baloney. Like it's the whole water tank experience and the tram tour, those are all made up. They don't film movies like that. That's not how you film a movie. And so I just hate that fake thing. I'd rather you say, okay, well you can in these parks you can step into the movies and be a part of the movie, but if you go out here you can go and take a tour and we're going to show you how we filmed the movie. You know what I mean? I'd rather have it authentically done whatever it is, you know.
So let's go back to the original question. Which one, which IP would you like to see added or return or more of?
I can only pick one.
Yep, only one.
Mm.
It's an hour-long show.
If you want to bring one back, I'd say bring back Back to the Future. And not necessarily in its exact form. Like, I don't need it to be like the Simpsons ride, like what it was. Make something new. But I would love to see something that celebrates Universal's history of movies. And I know I keep saying Ghostbusters, but Ghostbusters is not theirs anymore. But Universal perfected this step into that movie immersive environment, like you said, and I love that they take IPs from other studios like Warner Brothers and they turn it into an event for themselves, because they're kind of like, they are us as fans but with creative power and money. And so they're like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Harry Potter world? And they're like, well, Warner Brothers doesn't have a theme park. And they're like, well, we have a theme park, let's make it. You know, and I hope they continue to do stuff like that. As to what I hope they bring into it, you know, I'd like to see the Illumination cartoons brought in, maybe. The animated worlds. Not cartoons, I'm sorry. Yeah. That sort of stuff is all I can think of that's like an actual Universal property, like bring that in. I don't know. I'd have to think about it more.
Oliver.
Power Rangers.
Oliver.
It's a good question.
Heidi. Heidi?
My knee-jerk reaction would be to say Back to the Future like Rhino's was. That list was that they gave of stuff that, you know, intellectual properties that have been took away was quite extensive. One that stood out to me was the anything to do with Alfred Hitchcock. I'd love to see that in the parks. And I know that's absolutely kind of like... It's about featuring more of the nostalgia, I'd say, rather than trying to push and market what's new so much. So you can see that now, like with Jimmy Fallon, that's new, right now. Fast and the Furious, it's like, you know, that's a franchise, it's big for them. Stop worrying so much about, like, you know, trying to jump on top of what's big and what's working for you now and just replace it with something that's, you know, got a little bit more nostalgia to it. Because I'd love to see that. I like to think I'm a young person, I'm 25 years old, and I'd enjoy seeing that. So it's going to appeal to a wide range of people.
Love to see something classic, like how you're talking about Alfred Hitchcock, done in modern ways. So you take all of Alfred Hitchcock's most popular Universal pictures and you do it like the Permanent House you talked about. So do it like we can walk through Vertigo, Rear Window, walk through, but learn about it as we walk through.
That'd be like a dream.
I kind of am also on the board that something Hitchcock/retro would really add in, even throw in. I know Jaws is gone now. People still love Jaws. It's the original blockbuster. It needs to have some sort of life at Universal beyond just Universal Hollywood. And my outlook on it is, one thing that's really opened my eyes up this year with The Exorcist at Halloween Horror Nights is that I think we're probably the last generation that truly finds The Exorcist to be scary. The next generation after us, slightly younger than Oliver, I think they've grown up so much with this murder porn that just full-on gore horror movies that it's lessened the scary nature of something like The Exorcist. And because of that, now younger kids are watching it. And I've heard them talking about it at Horror Nights. That's how I know this. They're just not afraid of it. They don't see it as a scary movie. There's not blood and guts and that ultra violence.
I think part of that too is a change in culture of like people aren't as afraid as of religious fear as much as they were back then in the 70s.
That is very true. And with all of that though, you have to then step back even further and look at movies like Hitchcock, which the concepts behind some of them are very unsettling. They are good horror movies. You can even take it all the way back to the classic monsters. Yeah, we're not afraid of it nowadays with what we have, but people were genuinely scared of Dracula whenever that first came out. And so you know, I think these need to be represented in some way to teach why these things were scary, why Jaws made the money it did and how it started this revolution. While we don't need to see how the movies are made, let's show how we got from where we were to where we are now.
I'd love something like that.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's good, and I think that's going to do it with our questions for today, because we are just running a little bit on the wrong...
I don't think so, Tim.
Where I was about to say wrong side, and then I said wrong so good, side.
That time you said squatter nut posh, when you meant butter nut posh.
Yeah, I remember that. So... just wanted to mention a couple more things before we head out there. So, Ali mentioned the Fast and the Furious, the race from New York with Jimmy Fallon artwork that was released. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, that stupid car.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it the one where he's in the
like a Formula
vehicle?
One racer car?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
stupid car that couldn't even fit on a New York street.
Yeah,
it's not practical.
I will say. That's a housekeeping item in that sense. It's a news story. That makes me scared for what's going to happen with Jimmy Fallon now. That looked bad. Next step on there, tomorrow, is National Chocolate Day.
Oh.
So they announced that Toothsome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen would be celebrating National Chocolate Day with a bunch of chocolate sculpting as well as a specialty milkshake. So I believe myself, maybe other members of the team will
Put
be
it
trying
in my
to.
Mouth.
Well, we're not going to do that one.
I'm going to go.
You're going to go?
Yeah. So tomorrow is my park day, and I've chosen Universal solely because of what you just said.
So we will have coverage from National Chocolate Day to show off his brand new milkshake. So look for that tomorrow.
Yes, his milkshake does bring all the boys to the yard.
Yes. And unfortunately for a lot of people out there, we will probably continue a little bit more Halloween Horror Nights coverage because, as was potentially expected, it has been extended. Through November 4th and November 5th. So if you're coming down,
gotta go.
I'll throw it out. I know we have a lot of Disney fans who watch the show and pay attention. If you were coming down for the Wine and Dine race, you now have a chance to also experience some Horror Nights if you've never done that before.
Two parts about this are awesome. One, like you were saying, it'll probably be the least busy the entire event has ever been, because in Hollywood, when they extended it into November, nobody was there, pretty much. And number two, it's actually pretty cheap, inexpensive to get into that night because the starting price is like $60.
It's $59.99 on Friday and $69.99 on Saturday.
Not too
both
bad.
Very good prices for HHN. So you'll probably see us both of those nights potentially. The one night we'll be at the brand new show at Magic Kingdom, but the next night I will probably be at Halloween Horror Nights, so you can look for me then. It was the news yesterday.
No, November 4th. I know something was happening on November 4th.
It's a new projection show.
It's a new projection show.
It's a new day.
So you
it's
see what happens?
Dawn.
We, Universal.
I'm on vacation.
Universal uses movie screens to enhance ride. Disney thinks that projection mapping will enhance everything they do at night. So everyone has their faults.
I don't think so, Tim.
So that's going to do it for this episode of Tool Time. Before we go, I wanted to say, hey, if you're interested in the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition or anything on the Diz Unplugged, you can always head over to DizUnplugged.com. That's where all the show notes are for anything you might need extra information about, as well as links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that, this, that, and more. You know, they're all out there. If you're not following us on them yet, then you need to. And as well as make sure you're subscribed on iTunes as well as YouTube. So that's all I really have to say about that. Guys, this was very interesting. This was our first Halloween theme, I think. Well, no, we did kind of one last year.
We
did one last year.
You wore a scary shirt.
I wore a scary shirt. Did you dress up as something?
I was Spider-Man.
You were Spider-Man. JL was Velma.
Yeah. Then also, but that coincided with like the week before was Back to the Future Day.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was October 21st and it was 2015. So I came in as Marty that day too. Didn't I switch? I got dressed.
Oh, you did. You did.
Oliver's gotten carried away.
Heidi? Heidi, ho there.
On my shirt.
Well, thank you guys. This was fun. I can't wait till next year. I think we really should do the Ferris Bueller idea.
No, I absolutely think that they said that, and I'm not insulting you, but you could play the perfect Ed Rooney. Like, if we just popped a gray suit on you, and we could even do you, Ed, after the end of the bad day. We'll get you a little bit of a red eye, make a little mud on one of your legs. And Cameron, Oliver, I don't think you should be Cameron. I think you should be Sly.
Yeah.
Well, that's a perfect visual gag to end the show. So... Thank you, guys. We will be back next week with another episode of Tool Time. Happy Halloween, and we will see you again later.
Spooky.
Will we?
Wait.
Heidi? We'll see you again later.
Oh,
no.
Terrible. What's going on?
Oh.